Well, at Western Michigan University, the School of Music is very excited to present a concert with a guest artist and the University Jazz Orchestra tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Emilio Soya is with me today here on WMUK. He is a New York-based pianist, grew up in Argentina, and knows a thing or two about the tango. And it's very nice to meet you, Emilio.
Hi, good morning, everybody. It's my pleasure to be here. So
we're going to let quite a fair amount of your music to talk for you this hour, because you have a brand new release. It is called Puertos, Music from International Waters. But we need to catch up on your recent activity and your passions in life, if we may. I'd also like to mention that Jane Koshevnikova is here as well, and she is a Western Michigan University graduate student in jazz. And it's good to have you back, Jane.
Good to be here.
You'll be playing tonight as well with the University
with the
Jazz Orchestra. Mm-hmm. This is a residency in which Mr. Soya will be working with students, and this concert tonight is the chance for the public to come out and hear a solo performance as well as music with ensembles here at WMU. Emilio, where should we begin? Should we talk about tango to begin with?
Why not?
Okay.
It's always an interesting subject.
Yes. This was this something you actually had to seek out, or was it already in the streets and in the ear? You know, you could hear it anytime you wanted when you were growing up.
Well, it's funny because my origins, like musically, are more related to the folk music, actually, of my country, which is, you know, like the two basically two main streams, like strong streams in Argentinian music. One is tango, which is the music of Buenos Aires, specifically, the music of the port, the music of the city, and then there is a very different music that is we call folklore, which is our folk music. And that's more related to the rest of the country, you know, to the especially the northwest of the country. That's where most of the rhythms I'm coming from, and it's a very, very different spirit, very different music, different instruments, different lyrics, like totally.
Is it more from rural areas?
Yes, you could say so. And so I was more brought up in the tradition of that music, actually, not tango. Tango started interesting me when I heard Piazzolla for the first time.
Astor Piazzolla.
Yeah, Astor Piazzolla, of course. Like, you know, musicians of my generation, I think we were like older tango, like traditional tango, the tango that would be danced by people, the famous tango was, you know, musically too simple for us. If you were like into, like in my case, I started, you know, the conservatory, I was into classical music, and then I started paying attention to jazz and the possibility of improvising and, you know, extended harmonies, music that was more like richer in, you know, harmonically speaking. And also you have to bear in mind that the lyrics of the old tangos, you know, like painted a Buenos Aires and painted a situation and a lifestyle that was not what was happening you know, in the 80s when I was growing up and everything. So it was like a language that would not speak to you musically or lyrically, so to speak. So, you know, but when we heard Astor Piazzolla, people of my generation, we said, oh, okay, you know, that's now tell me more about tango now, you know, like that was the tango that we really wanted. And in my case, as I think in many cases of the people of my generation of musicians, we started Piazzolla and then we went back to check out. It would be like for a jazz musician, you know, maybe he's not interested in the old swing orchestras, you know, whatever, but then he listens to a guy called, you know, Charlie Parker or Miles Davis and says, oops, whoa, you know, what is this? Oh, this guy started here. So who was, you know, Count Basie, and who was Duke Ellington? Tell me again, and who's Satchmo? You know, and then maybe you start going back. I think in the States there's more tradition of education in that music, and the popular music has been around for many years. So if you're a musician, if you're trained as a musician, you start where you have to start, and you learn, you know, New Orleans and ragtime and etc. And you come up from that. In Argentina, that did not exist until a few years ago. So, you know, you were just playing by ear in every sense of the word. Like, oh, okay, I like Piazzolla, and now I'm going to try to find out.
here in the jazz world, I think in the United States, you'll sometimes get a chance to meet a musician you admire, and you talk to them and say, what should I be doing? What should I listen to? And they say, listen to the generation before. You know, there is a strong encouragement to try to kind of get the whole story with this. Was that something Piazzolla is known for, kind of breaking tradition?
Yeah, but to break a tradition, you have to, you know, when you say you break something, you have to have that object to break, or you have to know that object in order to be able to break it, right? Otherwise, you're inventing something out of the blue, which has never happened in the history of music or any arts or anything at all, exactly. Probably, right? So Piazzolla definitely changed the direction of the music. But let's not forget that he started as, you know, playing bandoneon in the Aníbal Troilos Orchestra when he was, you know, maybe 16 or 17 or 18. So he was, you know, he was educated in that tradition, and he started there. So he knew that music really very well. And so it's a mistake always in any language. And I made that mistake with tango, so I can tell. You know, it was so interesting for me, not so many years ago, too, because of a gig that I got specifically in New York. I had always played a little bit of traditional tango, but always disregarded it as a minor style. This is something I can do because I'm a classical player, you know, whatever, just play some chords and people are dancing. And then, you know, it wasn't until a few years ago that I really had a steady gig in New York with a trio playing that for every Sunday for dancers. And then I really took the time and made the research in that music, and wow, you know, I feel so much stronger about tango music now. And you can understand Piazzolla in a different way as well. It's not that music suddenly has interested me a lot, like nothing in comparison to more modern tango and what Piazzolla did, and that's more my route. But, you know, to be informed about, you know, again, it's like it makes you a better player or whatever you do, right?
I'm with Emilio Soya, who is an Argentinian-born pianist based in New York, appearing tonight in the Dalton Center Recital Hall as a special guest of the School of Music, performing with the University Jazz Orchestra. This begins, again, at 7:30 p.m., although there's a live and interactive chance to get to know the music and the artist at 7 p.m. if you show up a little early. It's a ticketed event. You can find details at milleraudatorium.com. That's the box office, or buy tickets at the door. The concert opens with full big band pieces, and some of them are written by you, Emilio, and some, you've got a Thad Jones number here and a Salcedo piece. And are these arrangements that you brought with you to Kalamazoo? Or?
No, these are arrangements that the orchestra was playing, okay. And working on with his directors, magnificent musician Scott Cowan, that you all know very well, trumpet player and director now of the Jazz School. And I'm really impressed of the work they done, not only because they are playing this selection, for example, from Thad Jones, 3-1, which is a very well-known piece, and Thad is not easy, you know. Oh. And I was already impressed in the rehearsal when I heard it, and also with my music, I have to say they've done an incredible job. You know, I am spoiled in New York, you know, playing with those guys and recording with the best of the best, you know, because that's everybody in New York is so strong, you know. So it's the first time that, and I hopefully I'll do more next year and everything, but first time that I take my music to a university or college orchestra. And I was a little bit concerned, like, okay, how difficult might this music be for them, you know? And I was really, like, blown away yesterday, you know, the rehearsal. They are playing it like pros, you know? Like, okay. I only made a few comments, you know? I'm going to conduct those pieces, so I was working with them, but mostly in stylistic things, like how to phrase some things. But their playing is really, really at a very, very high level. I'm really impressed.
So. Jane, you're in the jazz orchestra. What was it like? Do you feel prepared for tonight's concert? Do you enjoy the music?
Well, I definitely enjoy the music. We started with working with the pieces that Emilio wrote at the very beginning of the semester. So Chaka Freak and Sola al Sol. So we spent some time working on that, because, you know, especially it was very complicated. It seemed to be complicated at the beginning, with a lot of changing of time signatures and like modern language and like stuff like that. But then we realized that that's a beautiful music that is very, after you play that for a long time, you kind of get into that, really get into
absorb
that. And
that.
I think everyone in the orchestra enjoys playing it a lot.
Well, they're ready to take the stage tonight at 7:30.
Yeah, definitely.
And Dr. Scott Cowan, as you mentioned, is directing the University Jazz Orchestra, and Amelia Soja is the soloist tonight and the composer of many of the pieces. We have a chance to stop and listen to one now. Would you recommend Jägara, or would you maybe, you just mentioned Sol, La, Sol?
Yeah, we could start with that one. That's a sunny piece.
Okay. Are listening to music by Emilio Soja, who has been called one of the most brilliant jazz and tango composers and arrangers of our times. Great album. We've just heard a tune that you're going to hear tonight in concert at Western Michigan University with the University Jazz Orchestra and Emilio Soja at the piano. It's called Sola al Sol. In it, a piece I never heard before, immediately caught my ear for the intricate way the rhythm was spread between the parts, but not overwhelming, not trying to tell me I'm it's over my head, you know. It was just ear catching, and then just moving on from that to many places. I loved it. I'm excited to hear more from this album.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a piece we used actually yesterday in the I gave a masterclass on composition, and I use exactly that piece just to explain how it is. It only begins with two notes and how the whole thing evolves from those two notes. And thanks for saying that. It's interesting that you remark the idea that music, jazz, you know, so many times it's associated for the non-jazz listeners to complications. Oh, this is going to be complicated. It's intellectual. I don't think of music that way at all. For me, music has to, you know, be just music. Let the music be what it needs to be, just to express what you need to express in the moment. And the intellectual part and all the knowledge that you have about form or about harmony or about the possibilities of orchestration is musician stuff. You know, people, I don't think you have to overwhelm people or to just show people how much you might eventually know about this or about that, and put the listener into an intellectual process. Music should, you know, get to the people on a different level, which is mostly emotional for me.
This is called Music from International Waters, or Cuartos, the name of the album. And from reading a little of the notes, I feel I get that you have a philosophy that started maybe before you. It started with your parents and grandparents, that borders, nations are maybe not so as important as the mix of people and the mix of ideas and music.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's where most of the musics that we admire and we like were created, you know, like if you think of jazz music and if you think of tango music, and this band that I recorded with is called precisely the Tango Jazz Orchestra. So I like to flirt and play games with those two words. So what do you mean by tango jazz? Well, I don't know. But, you know, it's a way of saying we come from the tradition of tango music. It's Argentinian music or South American music. But we improvise. we open it up to the moment to see that's what we take from jazz music. It's not that you will find like mainstream jazz in the sense of rhythmic sense, you know, in the drums, etc. in my music. But tango jazz is a way to say, okay, you know, we are from that tradition, but we improvise. And both those musics and many of the, you know, most interesting musics in the popular music field are born as a mix of, you know, influences with people that comes from one place, either from immigration or from slavery, you know, and they get transported to a different place and they make a new life in that new place, and that music gets like influences from where that people is coming from and where, and the new place, the new port, this the title of the album is Puertos, which is ports in Spanish. Puertos, you know, the port as an idea of connection of places where people arrive to, people depart from, and these musics that we are listening, that we are enjoying, are, you know, about those trips and are about the connection in between those ports, and in the end are about the people, which is the only thing that really matters. So that's the game a little bit, to put like contradict or you know, confront a little bit this idea of borders and this idea of you know, of segregation of any kind, you know, racial or religious or by countries or whatever it is. That is a message that I think is very important to have present, you know, more now than ever before, right? With things that we see around the world and stupid decisions and stupid statements made by important people.
Well, you can hear more of Emilio Sola's thoughts in a lecture demonstration this afternoon, 12:30 to 2. You'll be talking about the history of tango and tango piano style, which, you know, you can bring in all kinds of thoughts on this subject. It's not just about dance music. It's about society. It's about the spread of a popularity of dance music and how it was suddenly, you know, changed from the music of the impoverished low classes over to something that classical musicians like to do all the time.
Yeah. And that's a responsibility. Well, many factors, but yeah, we'll address that. Everybody's welcome to this talk. I think it's happening at 1. Is it 1?
It's 12:30 to 2.
Yeah. Today, and here at the university, we're gonna be discussing that and showing a lot of examples. Yeah. You know, playing music from the tango origins from the 1900, you know, and onwards into Astor Piazzolla, who's we were saying the one that. That's changed the game. It's a very interesting musical and sociological history, of course, because, you know, that music is affected by what's happening, you know, with the flows of people and, you know, what people are needing and what people are feeling. And, of course, the dance, because the dance is the one that in the end saved tango music from burying, you know, because it was about to at some point. Like,
here is where, since we have microphones and are broadcasting to the general public, we could say, if you think you can play a tango, you probably can't. Right?
Yeah, this is, we were off the microphone, off the air. We were discussing, let's confess, with Cara a little bit, this thing about, you know, I think there's a kind of disregard sometimes, not always, but sometimes I have to say I found from the classical music world sometimes a certain condescendence, you know, when they are about to play like some, and it happens with Gershwin as well, you know,
right.
The soprano that is going to sing a Gershwin tune. You know, are you sure? Okay, let's see, you know, tango music and Piazzolla in particular, you know, okay, now it's the encore time and let's make people happy and play that simple music from these tango guys from somewhere, Argentina, where is that exactly? is it in Mexico? Oh, no, it's oh, okay, yeah. So, you know, Astor Piazzolla, is it double L or only one L? No, it's double L. Let's check. Okay, you know, and you know, you go over and play some music that you don't really understand sometimes, and you play it like, you know, it, you know, as an Argentinian, as a musician that knew Piazzolla personally, very briefly, but and I grew in that tradition and I admired that tradition for such a long time. It's kind of, you know, guys, let's talk about the music a little bit and see how it should be accented, how it should be phrased. Because when you play Brahms, you do that, right? You really spend years before you can play a Brahms sonata.
Yes.
And you really take care about how to play that. You wouldn't go on stage and play, oh, let's play this funny Beethoven. Right? So, you know, if you want to play Piazzolla, that's fine. Yes. Let's talk about it a little bit. I'm sure you're going to get it.
Yeah.
Let's do the homework, right?
That's
because
right.
It's not easy music because it was written by musicians who were not trained classically. It's music that is as important and as significant in the history of music as any Beethoven music, you know? Not in every case, but in many cases it is, you know? So...
I mean, we know why you love it. It is attractive, beautiful, sensuous music that, you know, not all classical music quite gets to that level of, you know...
Expression.
Physical connection.
Yeah. It has its own character, its own language. And as anything, if you're proficient in, you know, as a performer, everything you tackle, you must, you know, you should approach it with the same respect and seriousness as you approach your classical music.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't go on stage and play Bach. I play Bach. You know, that's what I try to do every morning as for training. And some preludes and fugues I can play, I would say, you know, not bad. You would never, I think, see me on a stage playing as an encore a Bach prelude because I have so much respect for the music. I think there's so many people that really can play this at a level that I will never get, you know. So it would be nice to see sometimes the same kind of thinking from the classical elite. And again, I say this with a smile on my face and with love, and you know, I'm not attacking anybody. And I have great friends in the classical world that understand that and respect that. But it's not always the case.
Right. He deserves as much care and homework as any other composer. And that's my opinion, too. I've had this opinion for years after seeing Piazzolla so embraced, which is a good thing, too.
It's a good thing, too.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, too. And definitely Piazzolla has opened doors for everybody. And the fact that he's played permanently in the concert halls brings awareness to, you know, to people like me, you know, which are not at that level of genius at all, you know, not even close, but that we are the next generation after Piazzolla and we are doing our own thing, you
right.
know, going more in, like in my case, into the jazz direction, or some other guys in my generation are more gone into the contemporary, like 20th century language with tango, like different branches, but we all branch out of Astor, you know, it's like, you know, he was the guy that started this game about, okay, let's open it. Let's stop the dancing thing. Let's get into more complicated rhythms, more complicated textures harmonically, in terms of the counterpoint and everything. So that's what we're trying to do.
And that's the work you took upon yourself to build upon as your own musician, as your own artist and creator. Many of your pieces will be featured tonight at 7:30 with the University Jazz Orchestra and with the Western faculty. And hopefully you'll also share a few solo numbers with us tonight. That's at Western Michigan University's Dalton Center Recital Hall. It begins at 7:30 or arrive at 7 o'clock for a portion where you'll get a little behind-the-scenes information in a live and interactive segment. Details on the concert are posted at the School of Music website, wmich.edu/music/events, or ticket information through milleraudatorium.com. Emilio, what should we listen to next?
Why don't we listen to a piece that is based on a rhythm from Uruguay? You know, it's fair to say that tango music was born and developed both in Buenos Aires and in Montevideo, which is, you know, the capital of Uruguay, our neighbors there in the River Plate, right, Rio de la Plata. So it was a music that landed in, on both sides of the river. So, but Uruguay is a smaller country, and so they have less people and the less musicians and less composers. So it never gets credited. But Uruguay was also very important in the creation and the development, especially in the creation of tango music in the beginning. They have their own rhythm, a rhythm that is more Afro oriented, which is called candombe. This piece that, I would like to play is called Llegará, 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 and I was very lucky to count on my friend, a great pianist and great friend of mine, and one of the mentors of my music here in the States, which is Arturo Farrell. And I invited him to play this tune with me because he plays it every Sunday at Berlin with his own big band. So I said, okay, Arturo, why don't you come and you know, share the bench with me? So we're playing two pianos on that version of this tune in the album.
That was a fantastic piece of music. My guest is Emilio Soja, and the piece, just a masterclass in arranging itself. You could spend months working that out. Oh.
Well, I spent... I will tell you how many months I spent in writing the whole thing.
It's such
a long piece.
Such an art to put music to a large jazz orchestra. I mean, you included many special details that I, if you were listening closely, you would have heard a hand percussion part on a special drum from Uruguay. And you mentioned this is sort of an homage to Montevideo as part of the album, which I just finally noticed. The pieces are all dedicated to ports, to port cities.
That's the idea.
Yeah. Well, Llegará, Llegará, Llegará is the name of the piece, and the album is Puertos, or Ports, music from international waters, and Emilio Soja, or S-O-L-L-A.
Yeah, I love that you say it in the Argentinian way,
try.
Soja. I lost the, you know, that's how we, you know, in Argentina, we the double L, we say like shh, like as H kind of thing, which is only an Argentinian thing, is incorrect. Should be Solia.
Solia.
You know, Solia, but in Spanish, incorrect Spanish, but I love that you say it in the Argentinian way, like Soja. That's it. You know. Makes me feel at home.
Good. Well, home for you is a lot of places, New York primarily, and we're really thrilled to have you here for a few days at Western Michigan University. For those who just tuned in and heard that glorious piece, you can hear a live concert tonight. It's the Live and Interactive series. So at 7 o'clock, there's an introduction with the artists, and music begins at 7:30. Tickets available at the door or through the Miller Auditorium box office, milleraudatorium.com. And the School of Music website has a few more details, including the program listed there. There's an abundance of music on the program with the University Jazz Orchestra featured, as well as Western Jazz faculty. Scott Cowan will be there, Andrew Rathbun, John Hebert, the new bass instructor, and on drums, Keith Hall. So it should be a terrific, terrific concert tonight. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, Emilio. You've got a lot to do today. You're going to give us the history of the tango at 12:30 in the lecture hall. Any thoughts, Jane, on tonight's concert from the University Jazz Orchestra?
Well, yes. So, again, excited to have Emilio here, and especially we're excited that yesterday we had the masterclass on the writing, and it was great to see the insight process from the composer, and I'm very composer-biased in person, so because I'm a composer myself. So it was great to see how did you start, and like how did you pick a lot of ideas and combine them all in your piece, also that we are going to play tonight.
That's wonderful. Any final thoughts yourself, Emilio?
No, I'm really thrilled to be here, so I want to thank you all guys for having me, Scott Cowan and Matthew Fries, pianist, and he's in charge of all the piano and some of the arranging and composition things here at the school, at the university school. So he's an old friend from New York Times. Not the
publication.
Not the publication, but when he lived there, yeah, before moving here. So I really want to thank them for having me. It's a thrill. You know, you work, this music is so hard to showcase these days, you know, like there's less opportunities and stuff. And, you know, we composers and people that are trying to push new music as opposed to playing the same old, you know, have a hard time, you know, spreading, you know, what we do. So these opportunities are not as usual, and they are really very comforting. You know, you feel like, you know, like they are giving you a place to explain what you do, and especially to play the music. Mm-hmm. And the faculty here is incredible, you know. So they have John Everett on bass, and you know, like it's incredible. When I saw the things, like, okay, I have to play with these guys, I'm certainly coming, you know. It's like I'm very happy to be sharing two or three of my pieces with them tonight, and I will play a couple of solo pieces as well. So yeah, I'm really looking forward, very, very excited to be here. So thanks for inviting me.
Well, listeners, if you want to support new music in jazz, buy the album Puertos. It might be available tonight. I don't know.
It is, and it is online. Of course, you can find it in any major platforms. But yeah, I brought a few copies for people who still listens to CDs,
okay,
and wants to take it home. Of course, they'll be available, as well as some of my older albums.
And you have some, you know, you can ask Emilio about his recommendations for good tango listening as well.
I'd be happy
if you want to get some of that authentic style.
Exactly.
It's been a pleasure. Would you introduce Novena?
La Novena is a slow piece, very much based on that spirit of the slow milongas by Astor Piazzolla, which have always inspired me and made me, you know, really feel music at a very deep level. So that's kind of the spirit behind this piece. And it features the bandoneon very specially.
Have a wonderful concert tonight.
Thank you.